Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done, outfit stunner, and my skin? I know it's gonna be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Hey everyone, this is Garrison Davis from It Could Happen Here. For this week of episodes, the team has put together a special group of episodes all focused on the broad topic of the escalating war on trans people. We'll cover historical background, the international TERF movement, and all the new anti-trans legislation trying to be made into law here in the United States. We won't have time to cover everything. It's only 5 episodes, but we tried to cram more stuff in, and you know, it's we don't want to make the episodes all like 2 or 3 hours. So I'm sure we'll cover all these topics more in the future, but we tried to create 5 episodes here that kind of cover a lot of our bases. Also, we've tried not to make the episode super depressing because yeah, it's 5 episodes based on a kind of upsetting topic. So we tried to keep them more information based and throwing in some jokes here and there, you know, but it is still not a fun topic, so just keep that in mind, but we've tried to space things out and not make them too long and not too depressing. So, without further ado, here is episode 1 of The War on Trans People.
Welcome to It Could Happen Here, a podcast about things falling apart, and in the case of this week, getting very angry at people doing really shitty things to a specific subset of the population. All right, Garrison.
Wait, isn't that every week?
Well, no. Sometimes we talk about other stuff, like 3D printed guns, but that ties in. Garrison, take it from here. I'm done for the week.
Yes. So welcome to It Could Happen Here. We're talking about, well, one of the big It Could Happens here is...
It Could Happen Here?
Yeah, mm-hmm. in relation to the ongoing war on queer people in general, and how, yeah, that sure seems to be like it's happening. So...
Here,
right now. But before we get to the actual right now points, I do want to do a little bit of background on how it's kind of gotten to this point in the past few decades and the various like precursors to the current moment that has seemed to be really focused on trans people specifically. But for a long time, a lot of the focus was on protecting quote unquote the sanctity of marriage, which was one of the big talking points. And to help us talk about this fun and engaging topic. I I asked on Kieran and Eve from the Kitchen Table Cult podcast to assist us in this horrible endeavor. Greetings.
Hi, and I'm sorry.
Hi. Yes, we are gays who grew up in that universe. So hello.
Yes, as was I, as was probably a few other people on this call.
Yeah.
We all have varying experiences growing up in the evangelical movement. While also realizing, maybe we are not straight and or cis children. So, yeah, but we're gonna be talking about the kind of the escalating war in gay marriage and how that kind of moves over to trans people at a certain point. And specifically talking about kind of the combination of religion and politics. Because this is something I've discussed before on my two-part Focus on the Family episode, and this really is going to tie into a lot of that stuff. It's a lot of the same people, but I would love for everyone else to kind of fill in the gaps where I have stuff missing, because I definitely have a good point on like the Family Research Council kind of side of things, and I would love for people to fill in the gaps on the other kind of stuff. But yeah, we're going to start off by talking about Family Research Council and that whole kind of side of things, because I mean
Josh Duggar. How's it going? Oh yes.
Josh Duggar is coming up. Don't you worry.
Research and families, so this seems unproblematic. I'm going to just mute things from now on, and yeah, you guys continue.
In terms of all of the save the children rhetoric, yes, Josh Duggar will be coming up. So, yeah. But I do want to actually open up with a quote from Mike Rosebush, who was the vice president of Focus on the Family from 1995 to 2004. And then a few years ago, he came out as gay and as a so-called affirming like Christian who like loves Jesus and endorses rights for gay people. He left/ got fired from Focus on the Family.
Is he side A or side B? Is he in favor of the celibacy model, or is he like chill with marriage?
He seems to be excited about fucking.
Oh, okay. Oh, so he's side B. We like side B.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is definitely the better side. But I want to start off with a quote by him, just to kind of set the stage for how this type of thing kind of really got started for combining, you know, the evangelical kind of biblical worldview with political organizing. So anyway, gonna read a quote here. Quote, Dobson, even more so than Focus on the Family, and that's James Dobson, by the way. Dobson, even more so than Focus on the Family as an organization, strongly encouraged all evangelicals to support and express their values in the public arena. As background, before about 1970, evangelicals often confined themselves within their own like cloistered communities. Political involvement was viewed as a secular enterprise and suspect at best. And this changed during the Dobson era. He and others encouraged evangelicals to learn and apply the biblical worldview. The evangelical person was coached in applying the apologetics debate method in publicly sharing the biblical worldview. Voting in every local and national election became seen as a Christian's duty. So at Focus, I learned that the evangelical leaders, like Dr. Dobson, considered the Republican Party to be the political machine best equipped to endorse a biblical worldview. In delighted harmony, Republican Party strategists salivated to win elections by securing the evangelical vote. Thus, a mutual agreement was formed. The plan became that evangelical leaders would introduce a hot-button issue onto ballots at every local and state election. Evangelical ministers would provide voting guides on how to influence evangelicals to vote for the only correct Christian choice. In turn, the elected Republican candidate... In turn, the elected Republican candidate would champion the corresponding biblical worldview, and this strategy worked. And what was the most reliable hot button to place on the local and state voting ballots, something that would ensure evangelicals in mass to show up to vote, anti-gay rights bills. Gay rights were viewed by evangelicals as a threat to the biblical family and society in general. So yeah, that's kind of how I want to open up in terms of kind of the shift in like the 70s and 80s and especially in the 90s from kind of evangelicals being pretty divorced from like political mainstream action to them becoming a crucial part of the Republican machine and this kind of circle that completes itself at this point afterwards. Because yeah, this combined with a whole bunch of save the children rhetoric and like saving the family, like the unit of the family as a sacred thing to protect,
it's really like that idea really carries over now into the trans stuff, because obviously they kind of lost a lot of the stuff they wanted to do on gay marriage after a long fight, you know, decades and decades. But it's still the same core idea at the heart of it.
Yeah, I just want to put an evergreen footnote on all of that and say thanks and fuck you to Phyllis Schlafly for getting us down that road.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That was like
blame can definitely be passed around.
Yeah, well, like originates there. Like, I mean, like before all of that, like the evangelical church was not even united on the idea of abortion being bad.
Yep.
Like we have come so far to merging these universes in this really fucked up little marriage that they got going on.
No, and you cannot divorce the ideas of like the escalating war against abortion, and then also like with the save the children, like protect the family idea, right? These are the same issues. Like these do go together in terms of people, you know, making this like fake version of the family that they are swearing to protect, whether that be from gay people or that be from, you know, women's bodily autonomy or, you know, women's rights or like feminism. All of it's in the same is in the same package.
It's like that meme of the like two pictures and Pam's like, these are the same picture.
Like it's the same literally image.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
the same exact rhetoric, and it's just like reskinned slightly to for whatever topic of the day.
The other big thing I want to mention before I get into Family Research Council is the 2004 book Marriage Under Fire by Dr. James Dobson, which was definitely one of the other kind of key points in escalating the idea of the culture war, and you know that type of like more like almost like tactical rhetoric. It was definitely a turning point. I remember
was this
seeing
around
the
same time when Fireproof came out?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, it had
it
to
was
have been.
Close. Yeah. Fireproof and all that came out between like 2004 and 2006, 2007. Yeah. So that was all around the same time period because they were losing, like you said earlier, they were losing the battle against gay riots.
Yeah, because that was around the time Queer Eye was coming out. That was when they were starting to get nervous that maybe they could not stop this particular, like forward slide. But yeah, like on the back cover of Robert, do you have something to say?
No, I was just thinking back to that period of time when it seemed positive progress in that regard seemed inevitable and unstoppable.
Yeah.
That was nice.
I think the note on martial language as used for this is really important here. Like this is a battle. It is under fire. Like that's that is something that was definitely employed. To the fullest.
On that point, I'm just going to read a little bit of the back cover of A Marriage Under Fire. Here we go. In this succinct analysis of the issue, Dr. James Dobson presents a compelling case against the legalization of marriage between homosexuals and the dire ramifications our nation could face. Same-sex marriage will destroy the fundamental principles of marriage, parenthood, and gender. Families will be increasingly unstable as their definition expands to incorporate multiple moms or dads, in quotation marks. Legalization of gay marriages will lead to polygamy and other alternatives to one-man, one-woman unions. The divorce rate will be higher, making our children less safe. Marriage Under Fire provides the foundations of a battle plan for the preservation of traditional values in our nation. Our response could not be clearer. The well-being of the family and thus our nation hangs in the balance. Now's the time to speak out in defense of marriage and the American family. So yeah, it is particularly like the battle plan, right?
You know, one thing I really loved during this time was the like libertarian Christian response to this kind of conversation where they're just like, or we could just, you know, not have marriage be tied to the state at all. You know?
Oh yeah. Yes. That was great.
I do remember that.
This is the backup plan for like, okay, if marriage, you know, gay marriage goes forward, then we can just like do that if we wanna, you know, just like completely eliminate it.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I absolutely remember that type of rhetoric. Even around like 2013 when like the Supreme Court cases were going forward, they were like really set on like, this is like, you know, last resort, we have to make sure that it like church marriage is just completely separate, which even that still is the case in a lot of places. Like churches are still in a lot of states like reserve the right to not marry people, and you can do it through the courts but not through the church.
There's also the subtext in that I think should be unpacked, which is that the multiple moms and dads kind of image that's given is not a signal of like the non-traditional family being bad, but more of a there was this myth that was pushed really hard in the conversion therapy circuit that like if you didn't have a good father figure, you were gonna be gay.
Yeah.
You know, if you didn't have a good relationship with your mom, you're gonna be gay. So like having this as like these coded statements in there are giving the clue of like, we're trying to stop the cycle. We're trying to not create more gay kids.
Yeah.
And that's why this is important.
Yeah, I was reading a lot earlier today from the Heritage Foundation because I remember them being a key
are the other big part of this.
It was so bad. And their whole thing was like, you have to have a mother and a father. Otherwise, everything is terrible. And then you get gay kids. And that also goes into the whole other theory that was like, well, which I think Robertson either made up or repeated. Was like, well, people who are gay were abused as children.
Yeah, that is definitely. And then, of course, all these evangelicals are also all like beating their kids.
Yeah,
the
it's
entire
like,
time
well,
as well.
Which came first? Were you abusing your child because they were gay or because did
yeah,
you
like,
make them
I mean,
gay?
I was and I am, but I don't think
full
they're
circle
actually related.
Moment.
Yeah, well, exactly.
They're related in the sense that you being gay is one of the triggers for the parents, but it's not. The causal relationship runs the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Anyway, we are going to take a break and hear from all of our lovely sponsors who don't support child abuse, probably.
Well, I mean, unless it's... Which does, you know, does run that island off the coast of Indonesia where you can hunt children for sport. But we prefer not to see that as abuse.
I don't think you're allowed
to
say
it as,
Robert, I think you have to bleep that.
No,
it's not.
No. Garrison, we're not going to bleep an ad. That's what sponsors this show is child hunting island. Which
yeah, you cannot say that.
Is it designed to make more gay kids?
Well, it's designed to make happier billionaires. Eve.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's nothing Elon Musk loves more than hunting children on his on a private island reserve off the coast of Indonesia. And like Elon Musk, you too can hunt children if you buy.
Anyway, here's the ads.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done, outfit stunner, and my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect.
Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The following is a High Five moment from highfivecasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your High Five moment today? Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Yes, we are back, and now we're gonna move on to probably the most unfun portion of the show today. FRC, the Family Research Council. I'm gonna actually talk about like what they are and what they did, and how they're kind of important in the evolution of rhetoric and various other stuff. So yeah, Family Research Council emerged from a 1980 White House conference on families that James Dobson kind of co-led with the President of the United States. So that's fun. Yeah, so he met and prayed with a group of like 8 Christian leaders at a Washington, D.C. hotel, ultimately leading to the creation of the Family Research Council under the direction of Gerald Regener. That's how I'm going to say his name because he doesn't deserve respect, so I'm not going to Google it. And it became a division of Focus on the Family in like the late 80s under Gary Boyer. And the reason there's a whole bunch of like complicated like tax stuff. Because Focus on the Family can't get too political because then it'll like sacrifice their tax exempt status. So there's a whole bunch of like really shady stuff happening in between Family Research Council and Focus on the Family proper.
They're not doing any lobbying.
Right. Yeah. In terms of like who runs what and like what crossover there is with like the leadership. They're basically the same organization, but they are like legally separate and kind of have different like operating strategies. But they really
Which,
are like
to be fair, lots of orgs do this. This is not unusual.
No, it's not unusual. But like it's important to know, like they basically are like they are very linked. Like they are like sibling organizations. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is Gary Boyer, the guy who took over in the late 80s, was also the Undersecretary of Education and a domestic policy advisor to President Reagan. So again, already like fully tied into like the Republican machine. So Boyer brought in several anti-LGBT researchers who pumped out like defamatory material about queer people. Robert Knight was a longtime conservative writer and journalist and the kind of major propagandist against LGBTQ rights. He served as the FRC's director of cultural affairs in the 90s up into the early 2000s. While working there, he wrote... along with some Focus on the Family editors, a 1999 booklet called "The Homosexual Behavior and Pedophilia." This is a very, very, very common thread in all their stuff. Is that gay people were abused as kids, and gay people therefore are like wired to also abuse kids. Like it's part of this like cycle that they like co-opted a whole bunch of research on it that they misrepresented. That all of the researchers who did the actual stuff was like. No, you're totally wrong.
It's this fallacy bingo right here.
Yeah, I talk about this a little bit in more in depth in the Focus on the Family episodes for Bastards in terms of like the actual like research they used. But yeah, it is one of the remarkable claims inside the 1999 booklet was the assertion that, quote, one of the primary goals of the homosexual rights movement is to abolish all age of consent laws and to eventually recognize pedophiles as the prophets of a new sexual order. So that's great.
I heard that
90s.
As prophets with the F-I-T-S.
That is prophets.
Not prophets, P-H.
Oh. PH, yes, PH.
Okay.
Well, this is just libertarianism.
Basically. Yeah. Basically, yes. Yes. For some reason, you cannot find this pamphlet on the FRC website today.
I wonder why.
Shocked.
Yeah. So Boyer left the group in 1999, and then FRC had two presidents emerge, and one of them kind of resulted in becoming the most powerful religious right lobbying group in the country, with tons of policy researchers and writers, and a lot of email lists and like physical mailing lists was a big part of their political organizing. I know Eve and Kieran, we have talked before about the effective power of the right's mailing lists in terms of getting political change. Yeah. Kenneth Connors was a Florida attorney and a leader in the pro-life movement. He served as president in the early 2000s. During his kind of tenure, FRC's agenda focused mostly on abortion and then also traditional marriage. Other stuff was like religious liberty, which means Christian supremacy, not actual religious liberty. Right. And then protecting parents' rights, right? Protecting like parental choice, which we'll talk more about in the future.
Like, how do they define traditional marriage? Is this involving like dowries and land transfers and treaties?
I believe they want one man and then one woman, and the woman doesn't really need to actually want it. But as long as the man wants it, then it's fine. I think that's.
And
the
are
general.
They like the Catholics, where they believe it has to be for the purposes of procreation?
I mean, they're part of the mainstream evangelicals. So like, there's the courtship mostly. Idea. So yeah, like they are for that, but it's. I know it's a very like patriarchal thing, and it depends.
I'm playing dumb here, but like these are like important distinctions that need
it,
to.
It
be.
Depends on congregation to congregation, right? Like the kind of the stuff that I grew up with wasn't super focused on having tons of kids. Actually, in fact, they kind of preferred just keeping it capped off at two kids because you know the more kids you had, the less loyal you were to the church because you had to focus more on your kids. Actually, so it does really depend on congregation to congregation. I think Family Research Council tried to keep themselves open to lots of interpretations, so lots of people could like glom onto their stuff. So they didn't get like super specific around like the role of child rearing and that kind of thing.
It's important to note around this time or a little before it was when Pope John Paul's Theology of the Body was coming out, which is this tome that's basically getting into like why, you know, the death penalty would be bad and why abortion is bad. And it's all this like sanctity of the body and the body existing and then like the sanctity of sex as for the purposes of procreation, pleasure.
That was definitely a key point.
In the atmosphere at this time.
That was definitely a key point, is that sex is just for making kids. Like that is definitely like a big part of it, which like they don't actually really believe, but they say, right? Because like if you look at all of these leaders like are not like faithful to their wives by any
sense. Kids are not an accidental side effect. Kids are the point.
No, yeah. But I think it is interesting, like the amount of stuff that's around like parental choice and like parent rights, which will come up over the course of the next few episodes of this series. I'm right now writing episodes about the current like book bannings going across the country. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is tied to like this idea of like parents' rights over their children. Yep. Like they decide what their children gets to read. So it's all this kind of stuff.
I've never heard of that before in my life.
No,
that's definitely not also tied up with a bunch of the stuff happening in Florida right now. That's definitely not the
rhetoric. It's the same thing.
Definitely not related to Mike Ferris at all.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I mean, really, this is sort of what we're getting at, is that the modern anti-trans stuff is they're just playing all of the sort of greatest hits of the anti-gay stuff, like... Yep. The bathroom stuff
and the CRT stuff, it's all the same shit.
I don't worry. I'm planning to tie this up in a nice little bow.
Sorry for jumping.
Sorry
ahead.
For getting ahead of you.
Just give me like 15 minutes and I'll do it. So, up next we're talking. Starting in 2003, they changed leaders again, and this is where they really kind of evolved into their current form with Tony Perkins, who became president.
Oh yeah, that guy
of the Family Research Council in 2003.
I've been waiting.
Prior to that, he served two terms as a Louisiana state representative in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And even when he was president of Family Research Council, he served two years as state representative. He's also a former police officer. and a television news reporter. So overall, just sounds like a quite the dude. Yeah, he authored a whole bunch of, you know, like, all these guys write tons of like Christian books that get published by like weird Christian publishers. He also served as the senior pastor of a church in Maryland, called the Hope Christian Church. He was a leader of an effort by white and black religious right preachers to work together against LGBT equality, specifically like in like the East Coast and the South. That's where there's a lot of like cross organizing between like historically black churches. Of course, not all of them, but like Perkins really tried to like reach out on that front to get like that coalition going, which was kind of unique at the time. So yeah, a big part of FRC's strategy is to pound home the false claim that queer people are more likely to sexually abuse children than heterosexual people. This is not scientifically true. You can look up like stats, and you can look up like the American Psychology Association has a lot of research on this topic because it was such a big point in the early 2000s that people had to like talk about it.
Yeah, so like it's like one of these things that like was a myth, you know, ambiently as a scare tactic and a slippery slope fallacy. But I think there's also, it has its roots in a particular misunderstanding of Romans 2, which is the passage that most people point to as their anti-gay rhetoric. And the context of that is like most like centrist and liberal like biblical scholars will agree that that passage was more about the pedophilia that was happening in the Roman Empire and speaking out against that.
Yeah.
And not specifically against like consulting adults.
Even in the Old Testament, a lot of new people going into like the actual translations of stuff in like even like Leviticus, it is definitely pointing towards it being about specifically like fathers not abusing their like you know like prepubescent like sons who are like more like androgynous. Like it is specifically targeting like this type of idea. It's not against like gay men who are like adults.
Yeah, there's this theological conversation on the right that was happening that kind of was like trying to account for that historical context and was like, it's both. Clearly, it's both because they go together.
Right. And obviously, like, we have to find a way to justify demonizing gay people in order to protect the sanctity of marriage. So we have to
save the children in multiple
and
ways.
And save the children. Yeah.
So Perkins has continued to defend the kind of gay men as pedophiles idea. He had a televised debate on MSNBC in 2010 about this. That is like 12 years ago at this point, but still 2010 feels much more recent than stuff, you know, talking about like the late 90s. Debating with the Southern Poverty Law Center like on the issue of gay rights.
I remember that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So some other anti-LGBT kind of propagandists at FRC includes Peter Sprigg, who joined in 2001. He authored the brochure called Top 10 Myths About Homosexuality, which was pretty popular around the time. Such claims inside the book include that like ex-gay therapy or conversion therapy works, sexual orientation can be changed, LGBTQ people are mentally ill because being LGBTQ makes you ill, and that the sexual abuse of boys by adult men is more common than consensual sex between adult men, which is... Obviously not true. That is quite...
I have questions.
That is quite...
So
the,
many questions.
That is quite the stat. And like Sprigg's sources are a mixture of like junk science issued by groups that support conversion therapy, and also legitimate science quoted out of context or cherry-picked, which is a long-used tactic by anti-gay kind of groups to bolster like their claims and their general like rhetoric, right? If you mix in like a hint of truth, it can make all of your outrageous stuff seem more like legible.
We knew that from the Screwtape letters.
Yeah, no, like one of...
yeah.
Sorry.
One of his better books. I actually enjoy the Screwtape Letters. I think it's clever.
It's pretty fucking funny.
It's good. But
also, like, just a, like an Easter egg for those who know what we're talking about. Like, he was extremely kinky. Carry on.
Anyway, one of the main researchers they kind of misused research for was Judith Stacey. who has like since issued lots of public statements condemning the condemning what, you know, Family Research Council advocates for, and has endlessly requested that anti-gay groups stop misrepresenting her work. So we're gonna jump forward to 2008, because this is of course the election of Obama has really kind of frightened a lot of people. This is when Dobson sent out that letter detailing like what a post-Obama future could be, in which he included gay marriage as a part of like the dystopian nightmare he was imagining.
This is horrible. The future that gay people want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And interesting, just an interesting thing on Sprigg here. He was on MSNBC again, which, I mean, maybe we should stop inviting these people onto news channels. But anyway, Sprigg
responded. Works.
Sprigg responded to a question about allowing non-American same-sex partners of American citizens to immigrate into the States by saying, "I would prefer that we export homosexuals from the United States rather than import them." And saying, "I think there would be a place for criminal sanctions on homosexual behavior." And then when asked, "So should we outlaw gay behavior?" Sprigg said, "Yes." So yeah, it's a very much a clear kind of mask off thing. It's they just don't want it around at all. And an idea I'm going to tie this kind of more towards the end of the series with the trans stuff is like the idea of queerness as like a contagion. Of these people having to like the brutality is justified in their own heads because it's like this idea that queerness can spread and it can infect children. So you have to contain it, and any action taken against it is justified because it's like you're containing a virus. And it's like this is really what kind of makes them feel so justified and righteous in every action they do. So yeah, including outlawing gay people, including, you know, exporting them from the United States, you know, a blatantly fascist idea. So yeah. FRC also worked unsuccessfully to continue the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. This was up until like 2010, so that was a bit definitely another thing they tried to focus on, but the slide, you know, the progressive slide actually was happening around that time. It is, you know, since
Kieran discovered
kind of stalled.
Something interesting about that.
Yeah.
Earlier today. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So I was again looking up Heritage Foundation because the Heritage Foundation was like my big kind of go-to when I was growing up in the 90s and 2000s, yeah, and doing speech and debate and apologetics camp and all that shit. And I was like, well, what was their take on Don't Ask, Don't Tell? And they, in the early 90s, were very, very against it. Yeah. In 93, they had like this paper published and they were very against it because they were like, well, then you'll still have gay people in the military.
Yeah,
gay
yeah, no, absolutely.
Can't be in the military.
Yes.
They're like, there will be like, it'll be bad for the unit cohesion. There, yeah, will be sexual abuse as if that wasn't already happening. There, yeah, will be, yeah, like all of these terrible things happening in the military that couldn't possibly happen.
Couldn't possibly be happening otherwise.
It will like weaken combat effectiveness is the line that Family Research Council used.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So there was definitely a shift in like the 90s where a lot of these evangelical groups were against Don't Ask, Don't Tell because, yeah, it still allowed gay people in just that they didn't say anything. But then as they saw progress happening, they're like, okay, this is better than nothing. Like this, yeah, this is better than them being openly gay. So they kind of switched gears towards like 2010, which is, you know, they're just like grasping at anything they can. I think it's time for another break and then we will kind of finish this off with some other not fun information, but yeah, let's see what our lovely sponsors at has to say.
Well, his big thing is trying to get volunteers together to raid child hunting island off the coast of Indonesia.
Like a counter raid.
Yeah, you can volunteer to go fight in Ukraine, or you can volunteer to help take down child hunting island so that can run it, you know.
It would be fun to have all of like the food delivery services have their own like private militias that take each
other. That's the world we're moving towards, Garrison.
I mean, the post office already does, so why
exactly
not? Why not these, yeah, companies? Yeah,
yeah. Arm everybody. Everything should be a military. That's the whatever podcast this is.
Definitely the solution here. Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done, outfit stunner, and my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The following is a High Five moment from highfivecasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sort. High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at High Five Casino.
.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
And we're back, and we are still talking about my favorite topic, which is the Family Research Council. During the 2012 election cycle, they donated about $208,000 to 80 federal Republican candidates, saying that they're using the money to strategically be used to support pro-family candidates and pro-family issues in elections and ballot incentives across the country. Yeah, so this is just, you know, in terms of, you know, keep the pro-family angle in mind. You know, this is they continuously were always donating money. 2012 was the highest one on record. And I think I don't think they've even matched that since then. It was pretty high because that was Obama's second term. So they were definitely like trying to really organize, right? Because this was like right before 2013 when the Supreme Court was going to be ruling on gay marriage as well. So, of course, which didn't get finalized until 2015, but they were starting to hear cases. I'm gonna kind of briefly go back to James Dobson here.
Just J-Dobs.
Reference if people did not listen to the Behind the Bastards once. He's an evangelical Christian author and self-proclaimed psychologist.
If you don't know who James Dobson is, please preserve your innocence and just quit. Like, just go enjoy it. Don't know.
Just log off now forever.
Log off now. Just don't know.
God, I do love the idea of a self-proclaimed psychologist. That's the energy I want to bring to 2022.
Self-proclaimed child psychologist. Yeah. Let's just like,
I know what kids need. They need to be on hunting island, you know?
And this guy doesn't even believe in like child development. Like,
no, he doesn't believe in child development. But also, Robert, you do know that I'm getting a PhD in parapsychology, right?
I know, Garrison. We're paying for it.
Yes.
This podcast is going to have the highest rate of doctors of any podcast on the internet, other than the one that our friend Kava does.
Anyway, I will be happy to be invited back onto Kava's podcast as a doctor in parapsychology. I think I'll be able to offer some really unique insights.
Okay.
Anyway, Dobson founded Focus on the Family in 1977, which is unfortunate because he could have just watched Star Wars, but instead he did this.
He does it. He hates fun. We knew he hates fun.
That is a key part of his ideology.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he's a founding member of several anti-LGBT hate groups. Family Research Council being one of them. Also, he is a founder of Alliance Defending Freedom. So
fuck yay. ADF.
Yeah, he got two under his belt. The organization, which is now based in Arizona, became a very powerful kind of fundraising behemoth, dedicated to fighting so-called marriage equality for queer people and trans inclusive non-discrimination protections. A big part of the thing that they were fighting for was enshrining a quote right to discriminate against LGBTQ people in state laws, which is, you know, all the stuff around, like, you know, what if a baker is forced to bake a cake for, you know, all of this nonsense is what
that's
is
an
what
ADF
Dobson,
case.
Yep.
That's an ADF
it's,
case.
Yep.
Yes. So that is Dobson. He started that kind of thing. Yeah. So I'm gonna now have a little fun though, because We're going to jump ahead a little bit just to kind of get the rhetoric kind of nailed down on what kind of how stuff we're going to start shifting towards the trans stuff at this point. But 2015, after the Supreme Court ruling for nationwide kind of marriage equality, Dobson has had this beautiful, beautiful quote. "I had this black cloud over me on June 26th. When that decision was handed down, and I was contemplating this foreboding, this black cloud, it hit me like a ton of bricks. The decision was not really about gay marriage. It's not. It's about everything else. It's about the entire culture war. It's about control of the public schools, and it's about what's happening in universities. It's about the economy, and it's about what businesses, and it's about the military, and it's about medicine. It's about everything. We lost the entire culture war with that one decision. The gay marriage thing was just a part of it, but it's going to touch every dimension." So...
This is what we like to call foreshadowing.
I wish that was true. But in terms of kind of how this gets expanded to like businesses, schools, universities, medicine.
I just love the histrionics. It's
that
beautiful.
They start kind of focusing on in terms of like, well, we lost this culture war. I guess we got to move on to the next one, which is, you know, the even more freakish thing, which is, oh, kids realizing that maybe they have a different views on gender. So that's the next kind of like rotating target that they move towards. So,
yep.
Yeah. Earlier that year, Dobson laid bare his fundamental confusion on what it means to be LGBT. He claimed on his radio show that being bisexual meant that you have orgies, which I mean, not.
Like, I mean, how long is he?
Okay, so
we wish.
Yeah. Yes.
I want to live in that
so
world.
Much more complicated.
Yes. He also blamed in 2012. He also blamed the 2012 Sandy Hook massacre on queer people because the nation turned their back on God. It allowed judgment to fall on us, which is why Sandy Hook happened.
That's one of the interesting splits in the right between the people who think it's fake and the people who thought it was queer people's fault.
Yes, yeah, it's because of the queer decadence.
And, yeah, they've all come back together now, but it was a real split.
And one of the other great things about Dobson is, so after my Behind the Bastards episodes on Dobson, like literally like the day after it dropped, I found this extra little disturbing nugget of info about him in an old blog post titled "Is My Child Becoming Homosexual?" Dobson recommends things that a father can do to help his child fix homosexual symptoms. including taking your child into the shower with you to compare penises.
Wait, what? Is,
what?
Yeah, it is not good.
Your child.
I will quote from the blog. The boy's father has to do his part. He needs to mirror and affirm his son's maleness. He can play rough and tumble games with his son in ways that are decidedly different from the games he would play with a little girl. He can help his son learn how to throw and catch a ball. He can teach him to pound a square wooden peg into a square hole in the peg.
What?
He can even take his son into the shower with him, where a boy cannot help notice that dad has a penis, just like his. Only, only bigger.
Oh my god.
You know what this reminds me of?
So that is a quote by Dr. James Dobson, psychologist.
Wow.
Oh my god.
Anyway, I'm sure there's nothing at all to
Hey, Jimmy Dobbs, how's your son? How's he doing?
Yeah.
How's that going? Are you talking?
Nothing at all to kind of interrogate there. Yeah.
No. Mm-mm. The other thing that I really love, and by love I mean don't love,
yeah,
is that like the only gay people who exist are gay boys.
Yeah, like, they really
lesbians
don't.
And bi people don't exist at all. Like,
well,
it's,
yeah, this is a really interesting thing. It's because it's about why would it's about if it happens to a woman, it's like, oh, well, they're a woman anyway. They're already not as good as men. I guess it kind of makes sense that they would do that. If it happens to a guy, you're like,
well, Eve Sin, obviously, like,
why would you do that? Like, you're part of the patriarchy. Why would you, like, you're supposed to exert power over women? What is wrong with you for not wanting that? Like, there's a whole bunch of other, like, patriarchal stuff going on and, like, why they focus on that. Also, because they undeniably find lesbians attractive. Like, they can't help but find it hot. So they definitely focus it more on gay men because they find that more gross because it is, like, a defiance of patriarchy in, like, a different way.
Ew, butt stuff.
Yeah, and of course, butt stuff.
Yeah.
Well, and I think also this is the same reason why transmisogyny becomes such a huge sort of driver of the anti-trans movement because, you know, I mean, you see this a lot also with, we see this with non-Christian, like, transphobes too, but like the ultimate sin you can commit if you are a person is, or if like, yeah, the ultimate sin you can commit against sort of the family is having someone who, like, being born and being seen as a man and then, you know, becoming a woman. And that's like, that's, you know, that's what transmisogyny is, right? It's about, it's the specific kind of transsexism that you get when you do that, when you specifically, like, you know, in these people's eyes, it's like you give up being a man and become a woman. And these, they go ballistic over this because it's, you know, like it's rejection of patriarchal power. And they have to do all of this sort of like incredible pathologizing to explain why this would happen and ignore just like this person was always a woman. That's, you know, the reality.
And also you're,
yeah,
it's like it's a condemnation of your misogyny and your misogynistic behavior to like go join, you know, the victims of our hate. So like it has all of these layers here.
Yeah, and we're gonna get like right into trans stuff now, because yeah, in 2015, Supreme Court ruling making same-sex marriage legal throughout the United States, which sent LGBT, well, anti-LGBT kind of hate groups into a furious reaction. Family Research Council was no exception, and it started working in tandem with other groups to support so-called kind of religious liberty, you know, laws which allowed people who object to same-sex like couples and just, you know, queerness in general to deny goods and services to same-sex couples and just, you know, queer people in general. It is very like non-specific. So yeah, also in 2015, Family Research Council faced its own set of scandals, referring to a friend of the pod, Josh Duggar, who was executive director of the Family Research Council Action, a political arm of the organization. It was obviously revealed that he had molested several
save the babies to your hard drive.
Several children, and yeah, had a lot of children on his hard drives.
Sorry.
So much that even the FBI was kind of surprised at how much he had. Like when the FBI is surprised on how much child porn you have, you're like quite
the
bad
shit?
Guy. Yeah, you are
when
quite
you,
the bad
when you
guy.
Surprise them.
Have you read his appeal case?
I have not read his appeal.
It's basically making it out to be like, there was this other guy who had access to that computer.
Was his name Josh Duggar?
No, it was his evil twin.
No, it's just like, he's just like,
Somebody else probably did it. It wasn't me.
Yeah. So he resigned from Family Research Council after posting a brief message on his website saying that he resigned after concerning events were made public.
I think he resigned from Family Research Council because of the Ashley Madison account.
Yes. Well, he resigned listing concerning events as the reason.
Ashley Madison accounts got hacked and leaked, and it was revealed that he had one.
His email was also on there. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that's what like kicked it off, but that was around the time
that was he didn't get.
His sister's case got released to the press.
It is frustrating how, yeah, definitely the Ashley Madison thing was seen as more of a moral failing than molesting children and having tons of child porn. That was definitely like within like the church and within the kind of the whole like church network. The Ashley Madison thing was seen as much more of a kind of like a egregious sin.
Well, because that's infidelity, and that's just like that destroys the entire, you know, nuclear family. Whereas molesting your siblings is just boys doing boy stuff.
See, I grew up a boy and I never did that. I kind of
I'm not sure what boy stuff they never did that either. So
anyway,
could any real boys write in and let us know?
Yeah, please, we all need to know this.
back to Perkins. So Perkins was elected head chair of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom in 2019 to 2020, which was an independent, bipartisan federal government entity established by U.S. Congress to monitor, analyze, and report on threats to religious freedom. So
who sponsored that fucking bill?
That's a good question. over the course of this time, he continued to work at the Family Research Council as well, including the annual Family Research Council sponsored Values Voter Summit in 2019.
I've been to those,
which featured President Trump as a speaker, as well as Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar. So yeah, this was the first time a sitting Health and Human Services Secretary was addressed, gave an address at the gathering. Also at the 2019 VVS, the Values Voter Summit, they featured an anti-trans panel that illustrated the anti-LGBTQ rights shift to kind of a storytelling as a way to further marginalize trans peoples and like
watch,
the battle against affirming
care. Watch J.K. Rowling get invited to CPAC next year.
Oh God.
The panel hosted like a multiple kind of anti-trans activists. Lynn Mager was there. Two of Mager's children identify as trans and they no longer speak to her. Andre Van Mol, the co-chair of an anti-LGBT hate group, the American College of Pediatricians, a committee on adolescent sexuality, used pseudoscientific claims telling the audience that that dissidence from gender dysphoria is the norm, calling they used this weird problematic study that lumped trans kids together with non-trans kids to study this idea of gender identity. It's a whole bunch of like the same, like, you know how like they like in the early 2000s they were misusing like research to say like, oh, look how all of these gay people are all pedophiles, also they have sex with kids more often than adults, like what? No. it's the same type of thing. They also made the false claim that the majority of trans kids are also like diagnosed with autism, which makes it easier for them to be recruited into being transgender because they can be tricked because they're autistic.
Collect them all. This is like the Venn diagram of autism caused by vaccines is causing trans kids.
Oh God. Yeah.
Also the idea that like trans affirming care causes more dysphoria, which causes more suicide, as opposed to the scientific reasoning that affirming care causes less dysphoria, which causes less suicide. You know, a whole bunch of nonsense stuff. Also featured.
You can't expect a group that will not acknowledge the fact that having access to birth control as a way to prevent abortions would acknowledge any of this as real either.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah. The panel also featured Kathy Grace Duncan from the Portland, Oregon-based Portland Fellowship, which states that it offers freedom to people from homosexuality. Duncan claims that she detransitioned and is proof that transitioning is always wrong, because that she detransitioned, that means it's proof for everybody that everyone should.
Yes, because trans people are a monolith.
Yeah, we're going to be talking more about the sort of how people who do transition get weaponized against trans people. And I also need to point out, like, just immediately that, like, most people who do transition because they are under immense social pressure too, because society mm-hmm. is enormously transphobic. And then there are a small number of people who do detransition because it's not for them, and good for them. But yeah, they get a very, very small minority of those people basically get used as weapons by people who don't care about them.
Other people get gender affirming surgeries and change their minds about it later. There's this whole movement of, you know, women who are getting their breast implants removed. What's the difference? It's the same picture.
Same picture.
Another thing I do at least once a year is I go onto the Focus on the Family and Family Research Council websites. And
why
look
do
up,
you do that?
Look at their entire, like, queer section. And it's really interesting because, like pre 2015, all of them are around, like, gay people. And, like, is my kid gay? What to do if my kid's gay? Is my kid showing gay symptoms? Like, all stuff. And then post 2015, it's all like the gender issue, you know, the cult of people trying to get your kid to become trans. Is my kid trans? Why is my kid dressing up in girls' clothes? It's like, it's such an immediate shift.
How to know if your kid is texting trans shit?
All of this homosexual, like, fear stuff to immediately being scared about, like, the gender identity kind of movement and, like, the cult of transgenderism. It is such a stark change.
Heritage Foundation website is the same. I looked up when they added their gender page, and it was in 2017.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that was when they started going after trans things. Before that, the only thing was like, oh, well, it's actually okay that there's a pay gap between men and women. Yes. And in 2017, they were like, trans.
No, yeah. From 2015 to 2018, you see a massive explosion in all of these like stuff about trans and like trans science, whether it be like the Answers in Genesis, whether it be Focus on the Family, whether it be kind of the Heritage Foundation, all of this stuff. You can watch an immediate shift in the type of stuff that they start talking about.
I will just say I am a little glad they're doing that, not for reasons you think, but because this means that there are kids growing up like we grew up who know that this is an option now. Whereas, like,
that is true.
We didn't know that it was an option until we got out.
Yeah, it is. It's,
yeah, that's true.
I mean, yeah, but you can see the kind of the switch in stuff. There's a Family Research Council pamphlet written by Peter Sprigg called How to Respond to the LGBTQ Movement, published in 2018. It says people with gender dysphoria or transgender identities are more likely than the general population to engage in high risk behaviors, which may contribute to psychological disorders or both. High rates of suicide exist among those who have already received gender reassignment surgery, which exists suicidal tendencies result in an underlying pathology.
Wait, did the same people write the script of Euphoria?
But yeah, a whole bunch of stuff around, like, Tom Perkins, Peter Sprigg. If you just look at all of this stuff, it's this is such an explosion. Tony Perkins wrote a pamphlet called "I Have a Girl Brain But a Boy Body." For a Virginia kindergartner's like a transgender story thing that he was doing around 2019, saying for years LGBTQ activists wanted to keep the goal of luring children into sexual confusion under wraps, but now that they've hoodwinked a lot of the country on their agenda, these extremists no longer have to hide. In fact, they're increasingly bold and even boastful about their real intentions of recruiting kids. So in terms of, like, yeah, it is an infection. It's a contagion that they're trying to, like, infect or recruit children. And again, all of that kind of rhetoric is in a post, about being trans, saying I have a girl brain but in a boy body. It's like the fact that this rhetoric is happening is going to convince kids that they fall prey to it. Like, it's this whole thing that is such a marked kind of change. You can read, you know, the other titles include stuff like the regressive cult of transgenderism, all this kind of stuff, talking about our country understands that Scientology is a cult, but we don't seem to understand is how much the transgender movement mirrors cults like Scientology. It's all of the same stuff. And
if the transgender cult is a cult, it's the best cult I've been in yet.
Right? Like, I feel like we need to add.
I can
that
leave
to
anytime, and nobody will give me shit.
I can stop doing my weekly injections whenever I want to.
Yeah.
And you won't lose your friends.
No,
amazing.
No, I will not. Yep. So anyway,
you can
that
stop
was
putting testosterone on at any point.
that was kind of the bulk of the stuff I had gathered around, specifically talking about kind of Family Research Council and how, you know, the change happened around 2018, 2017, 2016 from all of the stuff around, you know, protecting marriage equality, protecting, you know, the sanctity of marriage to changing. It's like it's the same save the children rhetoric, but now shifted over to gender issues.
I mean, they're just moving the ocean window because they can't win on the gay issue anymore. So they've just got to like keep pushing in that direction.
But it's the same organizing forces. It's the same organizations. It's the same mailing lists. It's the same pamphlets. It's the same writers, right? It's all the people who wrote all the same stuff, just moving it over to trans things. So
yep.
I just wanted to kind of lay this groundwork for us to, when we talk about kind of the ongoing legislative fight against trans people in these next few episodes. I just wanted to kind of lay this out for an example of talking about, yeah, it is really just, you know, there was all these fears around, you know, gay people in the change rooms, gay people in the bathrooms, just gets shifted over to trans people in the change rooms, trans people in the bathrooms. It's just this, it's the, just moving, it's just the, this like this turning of the clock that just shifts it over to the transgender o'clock time. I don't know where I was going with that metaphor. But
it's
yeah.
easier to like, to pull it, parental rights stuff is on the rise in this community as a talking point, and so it's easier to pull that in with trans issues than it is with gay issues.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I think that we are running out of time. Even Kieran, where can people find you online?
Our podcast is The Kitchen Table Cult. You can find it at kitchentablecult.com. Our handle on Twitter is Kitchen Cult Pod. I'm at Blue Pup Boy on Twitter.
And I'm at Eve underscore Ettinger. I would also recommend, like, if you want to have a, like, you know, trans authors take on detransition, the novel Detransition Baby is out there. It exists. It is, again, one person's take. It's not a monolithic thing, but it's a good novel. And then if you want to learn more about the effects of the deconversion therapy universe, Gary Conley's book, Boy Erased, is fucking great.
Yep, agreed. I just want to thank you both for coming on to talk about, again, one of the most fun topics.
Our favorite people,
near and dear to all of our hearts. With featuring friends of the pod, James Dobson, and his urge to take his kids in the shower with him to compare penises, and our good friend Josh Duggar.
The babies to your hard drive.
Save the children.
Not like that.
Not like that. All right. That's the episode.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Woo!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your High Five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done, outfit stunner, and my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.